Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Well, what do you do when your 15-year-old picks at the healthy foods you serve and then pigs out on junk? We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, My Son is a Junk Food Junkie. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com. Click on either for families or for treatment programs, then click on any podcast and scroll down to the end where it says submit your question and enter it there. And hey, why not do it today? And while you're there, you can download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Please know that this podcast is for educational purposes only. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Okay, well, today we're hearing from Stacy of Ontario, Canada, and Stacy writes, "How do I help my 15-year-old make better choices for himself when it comes to eating habits? The dinner table has been a long-time control battle with my kids as they are super picky. My 15-year-old will pick at his food and hardly eat. Then he will pig out on chips, cookies, cereal, toast, you name it. He will fill up on junky carbs later in the evening since he didn't eat well at dinner. It's a constant argument we have. Once we noticed this habit forming, we implemented that if they didn't finish their dinner, then they don't get to eat snacks in the evening. However, now he has a job and makes his own money. He purchases a ton of junk food and doesn't show moderation. He'll eat fast food twice a day, purchase large bags of candy and bags of chips, pop, and pig out. Now, genetically, he's a thin boy and is active in sports, so never sees the consequences of weight gain. He does break out in acne, which he when he eats badly, but he reasons this is normal teen stuff, so it doesn't bother him. He often is sick to his stomach, and he has diarrhea, which makes us late for work, church, and many other outings. He misses school at least twice a month because of diarrhea from poor eating. When we try to reason with him, he's very much in denial about how often he is sick. Just last night, he was up at 5 a.m. with a sick stomach, and when getting ready for school, he tells me he thinks he has hemorrhoids from the diarrhea and another day of missing school. I find myself reverting to scare tactics to express the seriousness of his choices. I expressed that this is not an issue 15-year-olds should have. These are middle-aged problems. If you are already having these problems, you should be heading to more severe health issues like diverticulitis, colon cancer, and so on. I worry, too, that his sugar addiction could lead to other addictions later in life. Anyway, what advice can you give in helping us empower our son to practice good self-care?" Okay, wow. Thanks for your question, Stacy. And it is an important one and one I care very much about. You know, the American diet, and I imagine the Canadian diet is similar, is unhealthy and leading to all kinds of problems. Let's start with sugar. Human beings are not designed to ingest large amounts of sugar or things that turn easily into sugar when they're consumed. Other than honey and perhaps maple syrup, sugar doesn't exist in nature in a raw form. It has to be processed from things like beets and sugarcane. We're not designed to get energy directly from sugar. Our bodies have complex systems for converting food into energy. And when we eat large amounts of raw sugar, we overstimulate the pancreas and produce large amounts of insulin to keep our blood sugar levels healthy. Over time, our pancreas wears out, and this leads to diabetes. And because cancer cells thrive on large amounts of sugar, cancer becomes a concern as well. When we eat sugar or foods that convert quickly into sugar and we produce large amounts of insulin, well, the insulin will bring our blood sugar levels down too far. And then we get fatigued, making us want to eat more sugar-based foods to raise our energy levels, and we get into a seesaw of high blood sugar, low blood sugar, building a sugar addiction cycle. And there's a neurological component as well, where eating high sugared products activates the reward center of the brain, and when the low follows the high, high sugar eaters go back to sugared foods to activate the reward center again and again. So whether we call it an addiction or simply a self-reinforcing cycle, it's unhealthy and it leads to disease. So your son is experiencing digestion problems from his high sugar diet. Why? Well, our digestive system requires a healthy biome, meaning a balance of healthy bacteria that can break down the foods we eat into digestible molecules. And when we eat foods that overwhelm our gut flora or the ecology of our biome and it destroys it, digestion won't work correctly and bad things will enter our bodies. Good things won't be able to be correctly utilized, and gut problems such as diarrhea will occur. And if this keeps up, Stacy, you are absolutely right. Diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, and other inflammatory bowel diseases are likely, making this clear to your son. Stacy, that's not a scare tactic, that's reality. Now, I'm not a physician, but maybe his thinness, in addition to his genetics, can be related to food going in one end and out the other and not being stored or turned into energy correctly. So now I may be preaching to the choir here. So rather than talk about nutrition, where I'm an amateur, let me move on to how to deal with it and avoid or end a control battle. Now, before I do, I want to mention that Dr. Stephen Gundry wrote a book titled The Plant Paradox. It's a bestseller. And that talks not only about what we've been discussing here, but he presents information that I hadn't heard about from any other source. And when I followed his guidelines, my weight returned to my high school wrestling weight. And my energy level went up, and my blood work went from marginal to excellent. So if you're interested, you can grab a copy of The Plant Paradox. All right, now, what to do? Stacy, you say your kids are picky eaters and the dinner table has been a long-time control battle. All right, so what's a control battle? It's where you're trying to get your kids to do or not do certain behaviors and they're putting their efforts into resisting you. Stacy, it's as if you take it for granted that getting your kids to behave a certain way involves a battle. That should not be the case. Yes, some kids are more sensitive to taste and texture than other kids, but when parents put out healthy foods for meals and don't keep unhealthy foods around and don't threaten or argue, kids will eat it and they will adapt and look forward to it. There's a book for getting young kids to eat healthy foods. It's called From Mac and Cheese to Veggies, Please. And I've spoken with the author of that excellent book. Her name is Jennifer Scribner. And you can find that any place. To avoid control battles, Stacy, we don't threaten or argue. We validate our children's feelings and educate and explain why we serve what we serve. When we do, our kids will generally grow up with good nutritional knowledge and behavior. Let me give you an example of what I mean by validate feelings and educate. Now, a parent-child exchange with a younger child could go something like this. Mom says, James, you need to eat your broccoli. James, I don't like broccoli. Mom, James, I hear that you don't like broccoli very much, but that's what we're having for dinner tonight. Do you know why? No, it's disgusting.
Mom, yes, I hear that you don't care for it. We can work on preparing it so that it tastes better for you, but broccoli is important because it's a superfood. And superfoods have nutrients like broccoli that fight sickness, that makes our bones strong, our hearts strong, and it helps our digestion too. Next time we're going to have broccoli, let's look at some recipes for making it together and choose one that looks fun and yummy. After all, super kids need super foods. All right, now, in your case, Stacy, your son is 15, so we're not going to have that discussion. And at 15, the control battle rages on, and he's winning the battle and making himself sick and maybe seriously ill with both short and long-term consequences. So, how do we set limits here that are not part of the control battle? Okay, well, let's start by establishing what it means to be 15 and the parents of a 15-year-old. At 15, a youth is in the third year of their adolescent journey, the journey to young adulthood and then adulthood, where the goal is by, you know, age 24, a person is making their own decisions and living by their own resources. Young adulthood, those years from 18 to 24, is actually part of adolescence. So, Tracy, your son is early in his quest for independence and very much needs parental limits and guidance. And while 15-year-olds don't generally jump up and down with joy as parents deliver those limits, they need to know that they are accountable to their parents and privileges are granted on the basis of earning parental trust by managing responsibilities and having a good attitude. And once again, 15-year-olds might not be the sweetest creatures on the planet, but accepting limits and being respectful is required. So your son is not being responsible with his eating or with his money. Not only is he eating crap, I wouldn't even call it food, that's bad for his health, but he's not managing his money responsibly either. Now, if a youngster is making money, they should have a savings plan and a spending plan, and if they can do that on their own, great. If not, then parents need to be involved. So, Stacy, here are some ideas for things you can do to regain your role as an empowered parent, helping your son grow up to be responsible and healthy. Number one, make an appointment with his pediatrician for him and insist that you be there for at least part of the appointment. Now, give his doctor a heads up. Let her or him know the struggle you're going through and that your son needs to hear it from his doctor that what's going on requires a major shift in eating habits. Ask the doctor to refer your son to a nutritionist. This is before you even meet with him, so he has a heads up. And ask the doctor to bawl you out in front of your son for letting your teenager eat this way. That sounds weird, right? Well, it's a subtle way for the doctor to be saying that parents need to be in charge and teenagers need to accept that. Number two. No longer write excuses for school absences due to symptoms from bad eating. Number three, in order for your son to be allowed to keep his job, he needs to have a savings and a spending plan that you approve of and monitor. Stacy, independence implies the ability to manage that independence responsibly. Your son has a health crisis related to grossly bad decisions that he's making in the area of food choices and money. If he wants privileges, then he needs to demonstrate responsible decision-making and accountability to his parents. So here is how your conversation with your son might go, and I'm going to call your son Jack. Jack, I want you to know that your dad and I are very proud of what a wonderful young man you are. You're smart. And you show great initiative. You're athletically talented, and in most ways, you are quite responsible. And yet, a couple of things are out of alignment. Jack, as the doctor told us, eating sweets and junk food is no joke, and eating healthy is not optional. Responsible eating is a requirement and nothing your dad and I are going to fight with you about any longer. Right now, your health is at risk, and you need to make a commitment to a major change in your eating, a major change in your food choices. Jack, we owe you an apology. We have been arguing and fighting with you ineffectively instead of establishing clear standards and holding you accountable to them. Our communication has devolved into arguing instead of talking, and that will change. Now, we will work with you and the nutritionist for menu planning, and you will be required to embrace these changes. While it's terrific that you've gotten a job, wasting money on fast food that's compromising your health has to change. If you want to keep the job, then we need to agree on a budget that includes savings and how pocket money will be utilized. We won't allow you to spend money on drugs and alcohol, so it's not going to be acceptable to spend money on food that compromises your health either. Once again, we apologize for letting things get out of hand, and we have to take responsibility for that as your parents. And once these adjustments have been made, we're confident, Jack, that nothing will stand in your way to a happy and successful future. Now, having made this clear to your son, Stacy, you and your husband need to demonstrate your resolve. If your son is not ready to go to church or school on time due to poor eating, you go without him. And he loses privileges that might include going out with friends, screen time, cell phone use, all that stuff. For how long? Until he makes it clear to you that he gets this accountability thing and he's committed to healthy eating and healthy money habits. So parents and folks who work with parents and kids, nutrition is no joke and needs to be taken seriously. Kids and teenagers whine and fuss about food all the time, and that's no reason to back off and ignore the issue. If you're an empowered parent, by being clear and positive and not entering a control battle, kids and teens will figure it out and they'll accept your wise leadership. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Stacy, for offering up your situation and your question. I think a lot of people have benefited from it. And if you are a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and would like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, or you're a parent who wants a consultation, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call. I'll be happy to talk with you. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.